You are listening to Jaya Ashmore. You can find hundreds of meditations and talks on my websites, jayaashmore.org, jayaashmore.org, as well as opendharma.org, opendharma.org. All the recordings are offered in the tradition of generosity or dana, and your gifts are welcome. Thank you for listening.
Are there any questions or anything to share? So I haven't forgotten the question about when there's not room to lie down, but we'll do that in the closing talk. It's so good to feel how you're all so cute. How there managed to be this tradition of getting together for meditation and honesty and silence and richness with a particular financial arrangement. It's really cool. Thank you, India. So it's really cool that we get to bring up the subject of money during a retreat while we're still in silence and feel what the word feels like, the associations and possibilities, the contractions and the power and the richness. And also to have this whole space organized in a way that has been handed down, more or less. So that we can get what we didn't bargain for. We can be open to that lasting love and lasting oddness that we couldn't bargain for. We couldn't think of it till it was given. And I'm so grateful for, someone asked me recently what drives me on my path or why or whatever, and it's just totally luck, good luck. Meeting my teachers and so many good retreats with so many Dharma talks I don't have to remember. And just the quality of the space of that community, of being together where it's fully acknowledged including in the financial arrangements, the practical, how do we pay for the things that make this retreat possible? That it's like out of trusting life and each other, and that it's not just us. So that this retreat actually is happening because other people before were so generous that I could come, that the ashram would allow us to come and lie down and not have to, you know, I've never met John de Ruyter. It's not like we had to go through the John de Ruyter channel and then we're allowed to be here and lie down and dance and ask for more chai. That's not very common. So just enjoying the quality and the amount of space that we leave for the unexpected, the unbargained for, by coming together in this more trusting way. And that just real clarity of all the teachings that I've received was not a bargain of any kind. In so many meanings of that, like, we don't tell you beforehand. And we think, oh, it's a good deal. It's offered on donation. The teachings are offered on donation. What a good deal. And then we go in and we're all receptive because we're not trying to get what we paid for. We're not trying to get a bargain. So we're all receptive and so much wisdom comes out of everything. And we think, oh, what a good deal. And then we find that asks everything of you forever. Now you're stuck. Life has you. There's this poem that was the poem of the week on the retreat in the Ahava Desert 2 weeks ago by Lucille Clifton. Yeah? Let's see if I can remember it. The title of the poem is Mother Tongue. To the child just born. So it fits our retreat also. Something like this. If I could speak to you in your language, I would try to tell you how it is when something difficult loves you. How it is when you begin to love it back. How this can cost you everything. So how it is when we start to notice life loves you, and how it is when we notice we start to love it back. We start to be willing to feel that pull to participate in everything that we are in it, and what that means. The willingness to be all in, so to give everything, whatever that means. And it's not just an easy thing of, oh, I'll give everything. It would be so much easier to just, if it would be like that, like, yes, my whole bank account or whatever. Now I'm done giving everything. No. It's this really hard thing today of, what shall I give? It's not as easy as literally giving everything. The feeling of all in-ness, what does it ask you? Someone reminded me, he said, his teacher says, what would love do? That's what we talk about here also. And then we keep feeling that alarm system come on. Give everything? What are they trying? What kind of bargain is that? Yesterday, a Mirabai song was going through for me. So her thing was Krishna. Like, if your thing is unconditional love or unconditional leave me alone, let me be, freedom or safety or whatever. Her thing was Krishna. And so she has this song. Let's see if I can remember and translate it. Some people say that's way too expensive. Some people say that's way too cheap. Do you know the song? No? You know the song? Koi kahe sa sasto, koi kahe mahango, something like that. And then she's like, whatever, I got him. I went into the market and I got him. Whether it's too expensive or too cheap, I don't care. I have it. Some people say he's too black. Some people say he's too fair. Do you know it? Really? I don't care. I got it. Whatever you want to call it, I got it. And she's telling her mom, Mom, people are saying it's too expensive, Mom. People are saying it's too cheap. Whatever, I got it. But then coming into that contact with the unconditioned, then bringing ourselves into life. So, but from the quality of being in touch with having it, having what you need. Having enough, and then having to deal with numbers. So it's beautiful, this Indian tradition of something difficult loves you and you begin to love it back, and not expecting it to be easy to have the unconditioned with you everywhere you go. In 1 cent, in $100, in 1,000. So the quality of feeling how it's all given, everything, and what is our ability to receive? How open is our receptivity? That would be another summary of the approach you were asking. Is that the summary of the approach? This is another summary of the approach. Practicing what helps us feel our receptivity to feel the givenness. And how satisfying that all-in receptivity is. And then from feeling satisfied and more than enough, I don't care if they say it's too cheap or too expensive, it's more than enough. So good. Then, what is the going to it? How does love act? How does enoughness move? So the going so open, so wide, so whatever, I don't care about the quantity, the quality is so good. And then bringing that quality into quantities, that's what I mean by, thank you, India, for this really demanding practice that's really given in all the Indian spiritual traditions as the basis, the fundament, the starting point and the ending point, and the way. Calling life as generosity. And I think this quality of aliveness and of life, including in biological life, if we just see dana, seed, if we see like how seeds work, it's just way more than not enough. what one seed does and how many seeds come from one seed in the good conditions. It's so intrinsic, so natural and in us, it's so easy to forget, especially when the culture is talking about debt and lack. And even the word exchange, some people will say, oh, it's beautiful, this way of exchange. The retreat is offered freely, and then we give something in exchange. That's actually not true. It can be one way of thinking about it if it helps you. But that's not actually. The seed that we plant and take care of, we're not really necessarily asking in the joy of taking care of a seed, we're not actually asking for something in exchange. Like, I'll take care of you and then you'll give me something back. It's not quite the quality of life. It's, wow, I love taking care of this. Taking care of this seed gives me so much. And then it, wow, look how many seeds this seed gave. Which we could imagine gives joy to the plant. Or a sense of fulfillment, at least. Like, to give those seeds away to life without saying, you better take care of every single one of those seeds, which would be impossible. There's too many seeds to take care of. And so just to feel how this quality in our practice, like in the stream of your path as you go from here today, there are so many things that are sprouting, that are waiting, that are fully flowering, that have come to fruit already. And you would be too busy if you had to take care of all of them yourself. But enjoying how alive it is and how life is taking care of. And what is the little bit that you need to do? Does that make sense? Too early in the morning. So it's a very demanding practice to remember to leave space for life, to take care of life, and to hear what is the little bit that I need to do to participate in that. That's also a summary of this approach. To realize it's a difficult thing to do, to remember, and then to also actually do leave space for life to be fruitful, including where it seems like nothing's going on and how that feeds into fruit. And we're like, where's the fruit? It's wintertime. Feel the fruit in wintertime in the bare tree. Trusting that. So in a conversation, leaving space for life. In your silent meditation, leaving space for life. And learning, sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's hard to feel life moving, taking care of itself to be fruitful. Because that's what life does. And sometimes it's so, so quiet. And that's what's needed. And sometimes it's have you gardened? Or have you noticed? Like when it's mango season, there's too many mangoes. It's not a matter of not enough. What are we gonna do with all these mangoes? And there's so many things to do with so many mangoes. Mango pulp, mango juice, mango lassi, mango shake, mango juice. Mangoes on our eyes. And then when we've eaten too many mangoes, there's the jamun tree right next to the mango tree, and eat some jamun fruit so that we don't get overheated. It's also just so, but you may not know what I'm talking about if you haven't been here in mango season. The jamun tree has these little tiny incredibly dark purple fruits. Have you seen them? Do you know? I mean, I guess they're not in the market much, probably.
Rainy day.
At the same time as mangoes, and right next to the mango tree is a jamun tree. And it has the, and so even just visually, it's just amazing. The different colors of the mangoes, all those different yellows and oranges and greens and reds, but mostly yellow, orange. And then this purple, it's just spectacular. It's so sensual, so juicy. And so you get stained orange and then you get stained purple. And in Ayurveda, the jamun fruit helps to counteract the heat of the mango fruit. Life is so generous. And so it is alarming, and we'll freak out, but then we keep hearing this invitation from life to be in and to be alive. Both as creatures and as whatever that is, spirituality, as the spiritual thing, the big life. The big life that's okay with birth and with death, and with what the harder part that comes in between birth and death. But it is something, sometimes people ask, does it get easier? And that question usually comes from an alarmed place. And so then in that case, the answer is no, it gets more and more demanding, which is the fruit of your hard practice, more demanding. But it also, we do get the hang of, yes, being all in, and how good that is, and how the wholeness that we are. And sometimes life asks us to be way more generous, literally, than we thought we could. And sometimes generosity is like, slow down. Keep that for this creature. This creature is going to need that. But it's a matter of practice, of actually an embodiment of generosity. We find out that we're included in the generosity. And it's okay, we can give everything, and that leaves room for more. So today we have this chance as part of the retreat to go from here before breakfast to the small temple hall where you started out, filling out the forms and all, the first day. And to face the space, the right now empty three pots or whatever they are. And one says Jaya, and one says Anetta, and one says retreat costs, open Dharma. So that might sound like a lot of pots or not enough pots, whatever. That's how many there are. So the retreat costs, on this retreat, you paid something to Open Dharma as a kind of registration fee that went towards mostly my travel costs, basically, which is a lot. I thought I was going to, when we planned this retreat, I thought I was just going to be coming from Lucknow, but I'm coming from Spain. And there was no way to do more than one retreat this year. So it's a whole lot of travel for one 7-day retreat that is there to be covered. And that's basically what that retreat cost is about. There's the travel costs for Anettaji from Auroville to here and back, which is not much compared to coming from taxi to train, to train, to bus, to plane, to plane, to taxi, to here and back. So we hope it could be covered from here, and if not, there are other people that have been on other retreats that have generously given that will cover. So just hearing in yourself how it sounds to you, how it feels, what kind of response comes if you feel like, no way, I'm not paying anything to that, or yes, of course, or whatever. That's the situation. Normally, there would be also the possibility, so in case that's you feel like, also giving towards Open Dharma, towards where Open Dharma is also needed for this retreat to happen. And Open Dharma likes to be generous, and Open Dharma also has to pay the accountant 3% of income, which is very little compared to any other accountant, but that's what there is. I do the accounting myself, like unpaid hours and without any skill. But still, it has to be done according to the tax law of the United States. So your donations towards that are very welcome. And then towards hosting the recordings on the website that are then available on a donation basis freely. Still, so far, you don't even have to sign into anything. They're just sitting there. You just click and it plays. Hundreds and way too many, like a mango tree. And also covering things like expenses of internet for me to offer online teachings, to meet you one-to-one, that kind of thing. Mostly the online courses anyway pay that, but you're welcome to contribute. So that's a pot that you put money in and it flows out towards supporting the teachings, basically. And then there's the pot that says Anetta. And how to begin? If we even think how to begin, when to begin, because this is maybe like the 12th or 13th time that she's done this. And how that is possible, I don't know. How she could still be really, really happy to come here early so she can prepare. And we're covering just a couple of nights before the retreat for her, but all those other nights before that she's paying from her own pocket. Because she wants to be here and get into the retreat mode and get things organized. And that she still wants to. Sometimes it goes like the first year people are like, yeah, great, yeah. And the second year, like, well, yeah, if the Donna's good enough, I'll, okay. And then the third year, like, if you can't find anybody else. I guess so. Because she could be on retreat, or she could be doing something else to make money, or she could be at the beach, or she could be taking care of her father who's not well, you know. She could be in England making good money, which she does, so... I think it's a really good example that we could tune into what that all-in-ness generosity, how love moves, what it feels like, and what that means. It's not that she's not doing exactly what she wants to do. She exactly wants to be here. She would be sad not to be here. She would be sad not to be working and not in the retreat. She might be happy to be in the retreat too, but... It's not like, oh, it's so hard, we better give her some money to make her feel better. This is the difference between the sort of debt economy and gift economy. All having room for feeling the pull of what's joyful and how that joyful pull pulls us in more and more to be more and more generously here, generously involved, and generously supported. And that it's from gratitude and love that support comes. And our belief about human beings, I think, is if we're not required to pay more, if we're asked to give what we want to give, our understanding of human beings is that we will always give less than what we're required to give. This is our poverty of self-understanding as a species. Do you understand? I didn't say it too clearly. People get worried about me sometimes. They think that if I'm living on trusting people's generosity, I must be getting way less money to live on. because I'm not a nun and I have two kids. And I live in the countryside, so I have to pay that much for gas, you know, to get to the shops and get food, because I no longer live in Dharmaloka where I could grow some of it, whatever. And so that's that 50 euros of gas sort of every couple weeks. And there's that tax that comes that just came out of my bank account last week. That people, we have this feeling of mistrust about each other and about ourselves, because the culture is like that. That how could people just freely giving actual gifts be enough to cover actual expenses? It feels like those things can't live together on the same planet. Yeah? But anyway, so far so good. Almost my entire adult life, not only teaching, has been living on a donation basis. Sometimes in India, sometimes in Europe, etc. And again, I'm not a cheap date, I like to say. I have one of the most complicated financial situations you could imagine, with my mother lives here, my father lives here. When I go visit family in the United States, getting across the Atlantic is one thing. It costs the same amount of money to get across the country with two kids to visit my family. It's sort of like whatever percentage of my income. That's it. So just to give a sense of, we're not talking about where from the alarm system, we'd be like, that's not possible. So that's not allowed, right? We go from the elder sisters of turquoise that are thinking that's not possible. So we can't even think about doing a retreat because she's too expensive. But so far it works. Also, my family is generous too. So I love the feeling of giving a chance while still on retreat, of feeling how can there be more than enoughness that actually fits into each of our unique actual life situations, and letting life weave that together in some kind of flow. It's like joining a stream that's already going from years before and lifetimes before, spiritual ancestors in my own lifetime, people who've been here before, who already gave enough. Whether they thought it was enough or not, that's their up to their left hemisphere. But here the flow is going on. And being invited to be part of that in whatever way your best guess with what you actually understand yourself to have and to need and to want to give. Partly to cover the actual costs of the retreat. So it's so cool that the retreat itself, we gave each other by showing up and by staying. What you paid was part, gave a little something towards getting me here, helping me show up. And during the retreat, it's the ashram invites Annetta and I to stay for free, and then we give them a donation for that amount back. And then we, this year, because it's probably the last year, for at least for a while, even though it's only one retreat, we also historically give gifts to the ashram staff. And so we're going to be giving what we would give if we'd been here a month, kind of thing. But that's coming from everybody, not only from you. It's coming from Open Dharma. So that's not added into the, I mean, if you give into the expenses pot, it might help us pay what we're going to give them. But you're not alone in that gift. and giving to Anuttaji, and then actually also Dana's stay here, but Open Dharma's giving Dana to Dana. Because we felt like we wanted your donations towards the organizing the retreat to go to Anetta, who's done, by far much more work towards for the retreat to happen. Already from last year and months, and how, it's easy to think of, yes, managing a retreat and you get to be here and those people pay for you to come. Like, it's easy to think of the good side of organizing a retreat and not to think about when she needs to go into town to take someone to the doctor, or all those hours on the internet, and living in Oroville where there isn't good internet, because the Orovillians don't want to have an internet tower in nearby. So it sucks. She's sitting there waiting for your third email to come through, and someone else's literally 20th email who didn't come, right? And this is literal. And yeah, she knows that that person's not going to come, and she's answering with love. We know, it's a pattern. The one who writes the more emails is not going to come. And there's not only one of those people. And it's like Gotam's patience with the guy who's not really listening to the teaching. And is just waiting for the chance to ask that question about, yeah, but you took a nap after lunch one time. That's not hardcore. It's more than patience. It's really more than patience. It's tuned into something else that's moving. And so it's good. And how wonderful to have the opportunity to support moving from what's good. So the culture is about where we're required to pay too much for too little. Like, think of a Coca-Cola, for example, that gives us less than nothing. It gives us poison and charges too much for that in so many ways, not only in the money, but also to the environment. That whatever it is, like 20 times amount of water for amount of Coca-Cola. Now then we might end up like feeling all righteous and against Coca-Cola. And I must say, like, after giving birth, that's what saved me, is drinking Coca-Cola. There's something in there that is the secret ingredient that after 36 hours of labor, whatever reason, helped. So there's no need to go to righteousness, which would, be leaving home. Why? But feeling where somehow we agree, like we agree to pay too much for too little. And even we agree to let that put us in a kind of a bad mood where we're like, everybody's out to get us, and we also have to try to get too much for too little. No, it's not living. So how wonderful to have this other tradition to remind us of living, and that we're allowed to live and we can. And we've had experiences of it that we can remember and so easily also forget, and putting ourselves in situations that help us remember, so that then we could bring ourselves to money and bring money to life, bring the green energy, so-called, to the green. Because dollars are green, or they used to be, I don't even know if they still are. Okay. To the green, the real green. Let money be on the side of life. Why not? A new kind of money laundering. Bringing money to love. Letting love touch money. And not believing that it needs to be two worlds separate. So not to limit your sense of generosity, of course, to the money. That's just what we're doing now before breakfast. A chance to give what you feel like giving. But certainly that's just one tiny bit, one tiny aspect, one tiny way that love moves. So feel free to share also every other way, poems and presence and, I mean, being present. And presence, like, this is a present, and it's wonderful in and of, as a thing, it's a shawl that's like the size of a room, and so light and soft. And the fact that it's a present just makes it even much more yummy. And so when everything could be that way, that's my life, everything is a gift, so highly recommended. So there is the chance to give not only cash, but also through online ways, bank transfer and PayPal. Hopefully it will work. And that's all set up there. So is there any question about this?
Ted, your travel expenses were covered by the retreat or not yet?
They're not covered by the 21 euros that most people gave.
So they're not fully covered?
They're not fully covered.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Clarify.
Yeah. If we want, I mean, it's always fun with money, where you, what, how you want to count it. We can say we covered everything and part of my airfare, and there's still airfare to cover. We could put it that way. Anything else? Yeah, it's probably the last retreat here, actually, because we can say lack of support, but we can say because my situation now requires so much support, childcare, help with Indian bureaucracy, as well as the airfare, and then the timing, because John de Ruyter comes, and when I can get away, leaves only the 1 week. And that was running, like, I was in Israel Sunday, I arrived back in Spain, 2 days in Spain, flying to India, starting the retreat. I arrived at 11 p.m., starting the retreat the next morning. It was fine, but it's not very sane. But so that's why it's a lot to cover one airfare for one 7-day retreat, and that's the situation. And then I need to get back to my kids. So if there would come, you know, childcare shows up in Spain, help with the bureaucracy shows up wherever, and money shows up for airfare, it is possible. I will miss this. It's a very special retreat for, I think, not only whoever is here, but it seems like for the whole Sangha, not just the field of retreat, but the whole field of everybody that I know, and maybe everybody they know, I don't know, but it's sort of like a, for whatever reason, we get here something like a preview or the seed sprouting of the next year. I don't know why, but it's happened every year, and it's happened this year as well. Maybe it'll find another way of happening, I guess, if it needs to. Or maybe it will happen. I'll be happy. Did that answer your question? Yeah.
Is that the same as Satong, or is that a different situation?
I hope I can still come to Satsal for 2 weeks. It's likely I could come next year also. Yeah. And Satsal is like in the outer environment, like so amazingly nice. The wildlife and the forest and the amount of space and green and the lakes you can swim in and everything. But Tiru is noisy and la 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 la, but Tiru is something. There's something here that's not necessarily always noticeable when it's a really noisy day or whatever, but. Yeah. Okay. This is good. Let's go to it. So it's very helpful if you take care of, including waiting in line or whatever for the computer to do PayPal before breakfast. So even if you see, like, maybe the chai got put out, like, if you could just not lose track of what's happening before breakfast so that we can do all the accounts and stuff. Because I'm leaving tonight. Yeah. Thank you.